Have you ever heard the phrase good for nothing? That's where I'm going to be preaching. If you know where it's at, turn your Bibles there. Jeremiah 13. I should let Brother Bill Fennell preach today, but I'm going to let him preach tonight. And Brother Frazee will be preaching next Sunday. And so I'll try to get you out very quickly. We have a baptism. And if you get to Jeremiah 13, say amen. Amen. And when you get it, just go ahead and stand up. I can't wait till tomorrow for you that haven't found it. It's still in the Old Testament. And while you got 13, you might want to turn over to 14 as well, because I want to read us some verses there. But in Jeremiah 13, verse 10, this evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. Over chapter 14, verse 7 says, O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. O, the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. Amen. Thus saith the Lord unto his people, thus have they loved to wander, they have not refrained their feet, therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquities and visit their sins. Shall we pray? Now, Father, we stand here in your presence as we read the holy word of God this morning. And our Father, we are mindful of what you have given to us in this generation. As we look back down over the courses of generations and see how you dealt with your people. Our Father, today we stand on the threshold of your chastening as well in this nation. I pray this morning that, Lord, you would speak through me to what you would have us to hear today. And Lord, I don't know the need of the folks here, but thou knowest. You know who is here and not saved. Lord, we know that you can speak to their hearts, convict them of their sin. Lord, I pray that they would look unto you and be saved by your marvelous grace. Oh God, this morning, help us to walk in the paths that you have so ordained for us to walk in. And we'll try to thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. You may be seated. The phrase, they are good for nothing. And Jeremiah says, leave us not. Anybody ever tell you that you were good for nothing? I've been told that all my life. Some of it probably true. But at the same time, here God is talking to the nation of Israel. And Jeremiah is his prophet. Jeremiah prophesied here for 50 years in this country, and God is speaking to him, and it's come down to a time that Israel has disobeyed God. And if back a few verses back, God has tells Jeremiah, take that girdle. Now you ladies listen up. Jeremiah had a girdle on. He said, take that girdle that you've got, go down to the Euphrates River, and there bury that girdle. Jeremiah took and went and obeyed the Lord. Now, some of you ought to be mindful that it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Amen. Oftentimes, we think that, well, I'm going to do God a good service by doing something other than obeying what God said. Yeah. Jeremiah does that. Now, there's some years has gone by. I don't know how long it's gone. But finally, God says, speaks to Jeremiah again. Jeremiah, you remember that girdle that I told you to go and hide in the Euphrates? And Jeremiah remembered. He said, go and get that girdle. Now time has gone by. Jeremiah goes down and he had put it on a rock. Now he's got to dig for the girdle. He digs it up. And as you would expect, it was good for nothing. It was marred. And he brings it back and God said, this is what Israel is. They are good for nothing. They have disobeyed my commandments. They have lived according to how they want to live. I have spoken to them over the course of years. And they harden their heart. And they trust not in me. Now some of you sitting here this morning, take note. Because you're sitting in the same group that Judah was sitting in. And he said, I'm going to bring judgment upon this nation. Jeremiah answers back, God, Lord, leave us not. Don't leave me. And we ought to be crying out this morning, Lord, don't leave our nation. Don't leave your church. Lord, we need you. But that's not the cry going out. America is in the midst of a spiritual famine today. And unless our country turns back to God soon and experiences a spiritual revival, our nation is just as marred. It's a matter of time before God puts us out of his anger and wrath upon our nation. He pours out his wrath upon our nation. Now, God gave us 3.5 years, a pretty peaceful time for his prosperity. Under the administration of the president, nation kind of prospered. And yet, in that 3 years' time, our nation did not grow back to God. Our nation became really further away from God, if you look at statistics. And into that, you find that God has to do some judging on this nation. Now, before the tribulation, in the tribulation, there's going to be a tribulation period. It's a 7-year period of time. When the Lord raptures out his church, the tribulation period somewhere will start. I don't know how long afterwards, but we know that there will utterly be 3.5 years of peace. Now, God, I think, gives us a picture of what we ought to maybe prepare for. And looking at our nation, and I hope that God has come to and has not said that they're good for nothing. I know that there is a remnant that God will be able to protect. And I hope that you find that yourself in that remnant. You find that in the message to the folks at Judah and the nation of Israel, that to make preparation. And you go to chapter 14, and God begins to pour his judgment out upon the people there in Judah. You know the story. You know how it's going to end. You know that Nebuchadnezzar comes through and captures Jerusalem, and they take over Israel, and they lead a lot of the young men and a lot of the prized possessions to Babylon. Daniel, there he goes. Meshach, Abednego, there they go. They go into Babylon. They go as prisoners under Nebuchadnezzar. That's at one time they were here in Judah. But what you have into that God has got tired of warning, tired of watching his people turn their back on him. Now look what he said into that. They begin to, he said, this evil people, they refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and to worship them and serve other gods, and shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. I ask you a question this morning. How good are you for God this morning? Could God say that person there is good for me? Could that person say that here is a child that I went to Calvary and I died for? Could they be able to say that I shed my blood for you? And could they be able to say that they are walking by faith? Could he be able to say that that I have redeemed them and they belong to me? I have redeemed them in saving their soul and that they belong to me? I hope so. I'm afraid, though, that there is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this morning that there is a lot of religion going on. But I find you find that there is those that the field with times. Well, there's a lot of things going on and happening in America today. The churches are filled with scandal. The busier and the wealthier people get, the less we see them in church.
Right.
Are you hearing me? God wants to bless a nation, but the people, his remnant, they get doing good, and the first thing to do, they begin to take up other gods. This day, you look around and you'd think, boy, the condition our country is in, the coronavirus is attacking so many people. So many people have died. And yet you find that God's people still forsake the assembling. They still forsake knowing that they need the Lord. And yet today there is the gods that people are worshiping today is today there's a tournament of golf. A lot of people didn't come to church today because they wanted to make plans to watch that last round of golf. There's going on today football games. A lot of people didn't come to church today because we got to get ready for the football. You find that into that, there's a world of people today curled up in their easy chair and they've got Hallmark Christmas music movies on. They'll never hear the name of Jesus Christ in those movies. But they're good, they're sentimental, and they're love stories, and they really, the boy preacher, they just really make me feel good. Well, I hope when you leave here, you're not feeling good. If you are, I have not done what I need to do today. If you go out the way that you came in, and this is what's going on in churches today, you got preachers that are preaching these good caffeine sermons that won't keep you awake, and they put you to sleep, make you feel good. Now, if you go out here, you say, well, I want to come to church. I want to feel good. I want to be able not to have to worry about some things that I've been worried about. I come to church to get feel good. Well, you're going to get feel good. And you that are right with God, you're going to leave this morning rejoicing that you're one of God's elect. You're going to rejoice that you belong to Him. You're going to rejoice that you're walking in fellowship with God. And you can go out here and say, preacher, preach. Tell them what's going on. Tell them of their sins. Tell them that they're worshiping other gods. Tell them that they need to turn back to the true God. Tell them that they need to get out of the comforts of some things that, and to realize that America needs a God-sent revival to be able to restore us back into the fellowship. You hear proclaiming Christ as your Savior? I guarantee you half of you won't be back tonight. And yet you say, I love God. I hope you do. God is fast becoming a stranger in the land of America. We have yet to experience a famine. You go down to chapter 14 of Jeremiah, and you find that they send the children. There's a drought going on. There's no water, no rain being fell. And they send the children down to the pits, to the water holes, and they come back with no water. All the water holes are dried up. You find that the cows calve out in the field, and they leave the calves because there's no grass to eat. You find a lot of things that there's no rain, and the plowmen are ashamed. They cover their heads. There's no crops. We are right on the verge of going into a time of shortage that you've not experienced before. You go to the, somebody was telling me yesterday, Kroger didn't have any toilet paper. Isn't that sad? The only thing people feel thinks about is toilet paper. My soul, if you grew up in my generation, you went to the barn. You got corn cobs that you didn't need toilet paper. But now we've got to have toilet paper. Oh, we have really got strong and we have really got soft, I'll tell you. But anyway, there's going to be a shortage coming. You talk to that out the things that have taken place out west, the fires, the hurricanes, the floodings has all destroyed a whole lot of crops. You take into that, they went down and the plowmen, they did not have nothing to plow. They had no crops. You find that God said, I behold the prophets say unto them, you shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Now that's what's going on today. The prophets are prophesying peace. Peace, he said, when they holler peace, peace, and then sudden destruction. I'm saying to you today, I would make preparation. I'm not prophesying anything. I'm hoping that our country prospers. I'm hoping that we can see that there be plenty. But if I look around and I see some things and I see here, and I think God has given us a picture of some things that is to take place as we look at Israel and God's chosen people. If you know, as a child of God, we've been one of God's chosen ones, and into that God is going to bring chastisement and he's upon his people. Now, I read also that there is a remnant that God said, I'll not afflict. Look at chapter 15, verse 11. The Lord said, verily it shall be well with the remnant. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. That remnant there, I believe here is those at the true churches of the Lord that are worshiping God. They're staying faithful to God. They're preaching the salvation by grace. They're just standing for the word of God. They believe they got a book that is without error. They believe that it is right to go to church. They believe it's right to follow the Lord. They believe it's right to pray. They believe it's right to read their Bible. Into that, there is a people that love God. Well, you ought to get in that to that group of people. You ought to get into that to where that God is first in your life. Is what the Bible teaches us, that God is to be first. And so we find that and what's happening today, God's message to us today is simple. His patience with America is running out. And that includes those that feel that they are religious, that they're doing God a favor. And so I say to us this morning that when God is a stranger in the land, it is the homes are divided. Can I say to you this morning that Satan is attacking the homes? Can I say to you what this virus is going on and is causing in and around your homes today? God has, if I go over to Revelation 6, if you want to turn over there, and you see a little bit of what is a tribulation passage, that is, should get you prepared for today. Now, I believe with all of my heart that God is going to let the church experience some things. I believe with all of my heart that God is a people is going to have is going to be tested. And here, look at in chapter 6, he said, the Lamb opened one of the seals. I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and I saw and behold a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. Now here's your Antichrist. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And then I heard another voice, and in the midst of the four beasts, and there was a black horse, and he sat on him, had a pair of balances in his hands. Here's a famine. I heard four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil in the wine. The fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was what? Death. And hell followed with him. Now, here is a picture of your first things that God is going to bring forth during the time of the tribulation. But let me say to you, before that tribulation, these things have already started. Before you get into that, you're going to find that that there is going to be some of the same. Here you find that that God said, I will consume them by the sword, by famine, and by the pestilence in Jeremiah 14. We have the pestilence. We have a virus that we can't control. We have a virus that they say they think they got an antidote for. I hope they have. But can I say to you today, here today, that there are a lot of things that's taking place. The possibility of war looms over our head. The distant drums can be heard. And God said, I am weary of repenting. Our time to run is getting short, folks. You're going to find that it's going to be, you know, God has given us generations of opportunities to be able to come to church and to be able to be at peace and to be able to come and to worship Him and without the fear of anything taking place. Now it's getting to where it's fearful to even, I've seen in Oregon where they're burning Bibles in Oregon. I see into that to where that in Portland, Oregon, they talked about burning Bibles there. We have come to a generation today that has no respect for God. We are our own man. We do not have a God. Our God is ourselves. We'll do what we want to, when we want to do, how we want to do it. We'll if we want to have pleasure, we'll have pleasure. If we want to have entertainment, we'll have entertainment. But don't put this religious stuff on me. You go out and talk to people and you find out where people are at today. You find out that there's not a whole lot of respect for God. There's not a whole lot of respect for the Bible. And you see that being played out in our government. You see it being played out into our sports arena, in our Hollywood arena. You see it being played out all around our world. And we oftentimes close our eyes. It says, it don't bother me. I know where I'm doing, what I'm going through that. And you got to be careful. I just read where Prime Minister of Turkey, they're moving closer to a Islamic caliphate. And we know that Turkey, which is Gomer and Togarma in Ezekiel 38, will be part of the eighth and the final beast empire of Satan. That's the old revived Roman Empire, and to be headed by the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of righteousness. In 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians, that will enter into a peace agreement with Israel, which will mark the beginning of Daniel's seventh week. Hell is coming. America will end as we know it, according to Bill Ackman, beginning of the 2020 Depression. I hope that he's wrong. He is a fellow that has been advisor to the White House and to two or three different presidents. He said that there is a depression that's coming. He said it's going to. He's been a counselor to the IRS, to the Treasurer. He's advised to the Trump. And he's talking about in the future the coming to unemployment that's going to take place. And he says if this country, if this virus continues up to April and they have a partial shutdown, that this country is going to go bankrupt with a lot of your big companies. A lot of the smaller companies are going to be going out of business. He said a lot of them are just hanging on by threads right now. You've got unemployment, over 100 million people unemployed today. And he said it's going to get to where the people can't pay their loans, can't pay their debt, and the banks are going to end up foreclosing, and then the banks are going to end up going busted as well. Now you say, are you trying to scare us? No, I'm just trying to give you some reality. Yeah. Israel, get ready. Right. You better turn back to God. You better listen to what the old prophet is saying. And for years, Jeremiah preached and taught and wept for what was coming to to Judah. And could I say to you this morning, the only way to be certain of anything is to know Christ as your personal Savior. Could I say it will be well with those that are left? Social unrest, food shortages, according to a lot of your experts in the economic world, we know that a lot of changes are going to take place by the new regime that has come in. Some of it will probably not be helpful to our country as we look at it. They think that it will. I'm saying to you today that are you good for nothing? If you're not saved and you're not born again and you don't have the love of God in your heart, what good are you? You good for the world? The world ends up under the pestilence, the sword, the famine, and death and hell follow. Right now, a lot of states overflowing with the death from the, say, from the virus. They haven't set up temporary morgues to handle. But you'll find if you read on that there's coming a day for Israel that when Nebuchadnezzar surrounded them and took over that city and took over those people, they would be besieged and the people were without food and water. Great distress. My message to you this morning, examine yourself. Where are you at? Does the world have a hold of you, or do you have a hold of the world? Are you dictating to what you're doing according to the Word of God? Are you living according to how you want to live and to make your decisions? Are you saved this morning? Are you under the blood? Do you know the Lord? Let's stand, please.